It's time for week two. Welcome in to our Fantasy Finessers podcast. I am Conk Kapoor, joined as always by Maddie Wasserman. Maddie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Excited for week two. There's a few good games this week. Thursday Night Football, obviously Chargers, Chiefs, everyone getting amped for that one. We got two games on Monday night this week. Bears, Packers, Sunday Night Football. Maybe not quite the game we thought it was going to be a week ago, but still exciting week of football. And of course, everybody's excited for fantasy football. We got a good slate on tap this week, so let's get right into the lineups and matchups, stuff like that.
Yeah, today we're going to be looking through every NFL matchup, seeing if there are fantasy relevant players, start or sit decisions, things like that. Starting off, Thursday Night Football, Chargers and Chiefs. You'll probably be listening to this after that game happens, but it's going to be a shootout. Start, you know, everyone that's healthy. There are decisions to be made in terms of Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Joshua Palmer, DeAndre Carter. But if you have space, I would want to get as much action in this game as possible. But starting for the Sunday slate, Patriots against the Steelers at Heinz Field. A lot of intrigue here with the Patriots running backs. You know me, I was a big Ramondre Stevenson truther coming into the year, and he only played 25% of the snaps week one against Miami. Only 8 carries, 25 yards, 2 targets, 2 receptions for 2 yards, only 10 touches, and compared to Damien Harris, who only got 39% of the snaps, there really wasn't a lot of action in the running back position. Of course, this was not a good game for the Patriots anyway. They got shellacked by the Dolphins. Mac Jones was held out with a back injury, or left with a back injury late in the game, so there is a lot of intrigue with these running backs, but Damien Harris looked like the better back. He had nine carries for 48 yards and 2 catches for 10 yards. He looked better than Ramondre, and for me, as a guy that thought Ramondre was the big breakout of the season, that one hurts a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Montgomery, obviously, he leaves this game with an injury. He's on the injured reserve, so he's out for the long haul here. He got 21 snaps in this game, so it's important to contextualize that you hope some of those could end up in the hands of Ramondre Stevenson. But yeah, Damien Harris was clearly the better back in this game. I think if you're a Harris owner, you're starting him this week. I don't think Ramondre really right now has the value to really be started in a game just because of the receiving work. I mean, he got 2 receptions for 2 yards in week one. And the receiving work, like, he doesn't look that good coming out of the backfield as a receiving threat. Harris also got 2 receptions. So pretty much they split the receiving work fairly evenly amongst their running backs. But I don't think Stevenson's really a guy that you can trust right now to start, despite your preseason expectations for him.
Yeah, you mentioned the snaps for Montgomery. Montgomery had a higher snap share than Stevenson did. 37% yeah, compared to Stevenson's 25. Montgomery had 10.3 fantasy points, caught a touchdown there in week one. Obviously, like you said, on the injured reserve, he's going to miss at least 4 games recovering from a knee injury. And like I said before, Ramondre Stevenson, a second year back out of Oklahoma, I was really high on him. I think you got to keep him on your bench this week. Harris, he's probably a flex play. He's not up in the RB2 ranks yet like he was last year. And looking elsewhere on this Patriots team, there is some intrigue as well at the wide receiver position. Devontae Parker is one of the bigger acquisitions for this Patriots team, and he really didn't do much, had 1 catch, only 9 yards, and was really overshadowed by the other wide receiver options on this team, Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne. Are you holding on to Devontae Parker, or are you just cutting him immediately after this bad performance?
I mean, he got a lot of snaps in this game, but what evidence do we really have that Patriots receivers have a lot of worth right now? This offense looked totally dismal last week, and I mean, frankly, why do we have any evidence to suggest that this is somehow going to tick up again this week? I mean, yeah, he pretty clearly is maybe one of the top guys in this offense. Maybe him and Jacoby Myers are the people you'd look at the top of this wide receiver core, but who really wants a piece of this Patriots offense right now? Mac Jones is not throwing the ball down the field. And, you know, Devontae Parker, he needs a really high target share in order to provide any value. And week one was not encouraging that he's really going to get that. So I don't really see him as much of a starting candidate this week.
Yeah, there really isn't much in this Patriots offense that you want a piece of. I mean, Stevenson and Harris would be the only two that perhaps could have value going forward. But this is a Patriots defense that just turned Joe Burrow over 4 times, had a pick 6, sacked him 7 times. And Mac Jones, he did put in a full practice on Wednesday after that back spasms injury on Sunday. But, I mean, 2 quarterback league, you probably have to start Mac Jones if you have him. But Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, I would keep. Not in your starting lineups, I probably wouldn't roster Kendrick Bourne. Jacoby Myers is worth a spot on the bench. And for Devontae Parker, like I said, he played 100% of the snaps compared to Kendrick Bourne's 4% of the snaps. So he's obviously higher up in this offense than Kendrick Bourne, as evidenced by that 96% snap discrepancy. I would like to keep Parker on my bench. At this point, I don't want to start him at all. And now looking on the other side of the field in this matchup, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Najee Harris has told reporters that he is good to go for this week. He's logged a limited practice after that foot injury we talked about, maybe an aggravation of the Liz Frank he suffered in the preseason. I'm very worried about Najee Harris going forward. Horribly inefficient in week one against Cincinnati, only 2.3 yards per carry, and a lot of that has to do with the offensive line. If Najee's on the field, are you putting him in your starting lineup?
I mean, yeah, obviously, you drafted Najee Harris in the first round for a reason, and the reason wasn't because he was going to be hyper-efficient. I mean, 2.3 yards per carry, obviously, you want to take above that, but this is a volume-based play, and the volume, he got 10 carries in this game. I mean, obviously, you want to see more. He did, obviously, as you said, get hurt in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, you're still going to keep him in the lineup because this Pittsburgh team showed that they're still going to give Harris that volume. And you're predicating this on his on him getting a ton of carries, getting into the end zone. This was never going to be because he was the best back in real life in terms of his stats. This is a purely fantasy volume-based play. And that's simply still going to be the case. I mean, Mike Tomlin saying that he still wants to see a little bit more out of Harris before he's confident he can get on the field, but it does seem like he's gearing towards playing in this game. And I mean, you look at the team against New England. You mentioned how good their defense was last week. It's not the best matchup for him, but you still put him on the field. He was your first round draft pick. You got to ride him with him right now.
Yeah, in terms of the other receiving options on the Steelers team, honestly, the one I'm the most confident in is Pat Freiermuth over Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. The Muth, as we call him, had 10 targets, put up 12.5 fantasy points last week. And Deontay Johnson had a solid showing, another 12.5 fantasy point showing, 7 catches for 55 yards. I'm fine with Johnson in my lineup as a flex/wide receiver 3. I'm fine with Pat Freiermuth as a tight end 1. For Chase Claypool, I don't want him in my starting lineup.
12 targets for Deontay Johnson last week. Really encouraging. I mean, he reeled in 7 of those 12, but you got to be encouraged by what we saw in that game from Johnson. I think he's a guy you definitely start in this game. I mean, Muth, you mentioned, like, he's providing solid consistency at tight end. He doesn't really have the high end upside, and the Steelers' offense obviously is
going crazy. There's upside there.
10 targets. I mean, yeah, there's some upside, but generally stuck in the Steelers' offense, you can only go so far, but encouraging week for him, too.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, quarterback of the Steelers, I don't want any part of that. Yeah. He struggled to push the ball down the field, which leads me to believe Chase Claypool isn't really going to produce unless he can break off, you know, a short pass for a touchdown. But for Patriots and Steelers, you know, there's a few options I'm okay with starting, but, I mean, Pat Freiermuth is probably the guy I'm most confident in this entire matchup.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots have, for years, not been overly fantasy relevant. I mean, Julian Edelman was for a few years. There was the 1 year where LeGarrette Blount scored like 3 touchdowns a game. But for the most part, in the last couple of years, this is not a Patriots offense you want much of a part of. And with Mitch Trubisky at the helm, there's not too much you want with the Steelers either.
Yeah, next matchup here, battle of top-tier running backs, the Panthers and the Giants. Of course, CMC, Saquon are in your lineups. Here is an interesting conundrum for me. What do you do with Kadarius Toney? Toney was not on the field a lot. He had 2 rushing attempts, 23 yards. I don't think he had any targets. So what are you doing with Kadarius Toney? He's obviously not in your lineup this week. He only played 7 snaps. Are you holding on to him? Do you think there has to be significant upside for a guy of his skill set. What are you doing with him rest of season?
There's too many wide receivers on this Giants team that are competing for similar snap shares. I mean, you look at Kenny Golladay, that's a whole separate can of worms. Wandale Robinson, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton. I mean, like, there are tons and tons of wide receivers on this Giants team competing for targets. And it does feel like Kadarius Toney, despite being a first-round pick by a different regime a couple of years earlier, there's just not that much upside for him because there's so many people competing for targets in an offense that you don't even necessarily want a huge part of. So Tony's a guy, I mean, you can hold on to him for another week or two, maybe see if something magically changes. But to me, there's not one wide receiver that's startable in the Giants because there's so many of them that are fighting for just not that many targets each.
Yeah, Giants, Saquon Barkley is the only one in your lineup for me. The Panthers, they have some intrigue at the wide receiver position. DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. DJ Moore was drafted at the 3rd, 4th round, high draft capital invested in him, thinking that he would take a huge step forward with better quarterback play with Baker Mayfield. 6 targets, 3 receptions, 43 yards against Cleveland in week 1. Very disappointing for fantasy managers. Took a backseat to Robbie Anderson, who had 8 targets, 5 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown, headlined by a 75-yard touchdown. I think I'm okay with starting Robbie Anderson this week. DJ Moore is in my lineup, no questions. I think he's going to bounce back. But Robbie Anderson, 100% of the snaps, showed good, solid chemistry with Baker Mayfield. I think Anderson has a chance to break out this season.
I mean, Robbie Anderson is in, what, his 7th, 8th year in the league at this point.
We do know what he is at this point.
I feel like we somewhat know what he is. You look at his stats. His first season in Carolina in 2020, he had 95 receptions. Last year, he had just 53. So I think that's kind of where some of that pessimism came in for Robbie Anderson. He looked kind of disengaged at times last season. He really wasn't a fantasy-relevant player after putting up really good production a season ago. But you look across most of his career, this is not a high PPR floor type guy. This is a guy that you're going to need to get a lot of yards in the air. You're going to need to get big plays, which he got last week. But I still kind of, I mean, he had a 75-yard touchdown reception. Like, yeah, obviously his points are going to go up from that, but it's a little bit of a lottery ticket to me to start him at this point. I mean, put him on your roster. It was an encouraging performance. Maybe Baker has him re-energized, stuff like that, a late veteran. Maybe there's a surge. But I don't think this is some breakout candidacy. Like, we have a long history with Robbie Anderson, and at this point I think we have a good idea. Like, we know who he is. And I don't think he's a guy that you, at this point right now, should start on a week-to-week basis. Obviously, the DJ Moore thing, there's a little bit of concern with just catching 3 balls. But, I mean, like, that was a weird game, and you're just acclimating to a new quarterback, too, right? DJ Moore's had plenty of quarterbacks to acclimate to in his career thus far. He hasn't gotten the best QB play over the years. But I think you continue to start him with confidence and see if that connection with Baker is able to ramp up.
Yeah, I feel like week 2, you invested a little bit too much in DJ Moore to go ahead and bench him already. And, I mean, in this matchup, it's going to be a battle of the running backs, I feel like. And CMC did disappoint last week. We talked about this on our previous show. But interestingly enough, the Panthers ran one play outside the tackles, and that was a DJ Moore run play. They never tried to get McCaffrey outside the tackles. Every single run of McCaffrey's, in his limited run, he only had, 11 carries?
He only got 10 carries.
Only 10 carries. All of those were either right up the gut or in between the guards. So I feel like they're going to try to – I think it has to be noted, Myles Garrett, of course, is on the Browns. They're trying to stay away from him, I would imagine. New York Giants, I think, it's probably a lesser matchup in terms of running outside the tackle. So I think McCaffrey is going to be Christian McCaffrey in this game. And Saquon, of course, is starting with confidence.
Most important thing with McCaffrey, he stayed healthy.
Exactly.
And if he stays healthy, he's going to get a workload. He got 4 receptions on 6 targets. That's something that you certainly expect. The 6 targets, like, that should be a weekly thing. And I think
it's going to be like 8 or 9 targets.
At minimum, 6. Yeah. And I think that is what we're going to see in this offense. They know he's their most dynamic option, and the running back options behind McCaffrey is important to contextualize, right? 10 carries for McCaffrey, right behind him Chuba Hubbard with 1 carry. So it's not
he's
like
the guy in this offense.
So it's not like 2 carries for Donta Foreman. So it's not like there's other competing options behind McCaffrey, or you're worrying about a timeshare or a split backfield. There's really nothing like that has to be concerned about.
Right. And going forward for McCaffrey and Saquon, you're of course starting them whenever they're healthy. Now, next matchup on the 1 p.m. slate, Jets and Browns, a game that could have some interesting factors, but of course, Joe Flacco is still the quarterback of the Jets for this week. The Browns, you're starting both running backs, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, with confidence. Wide receivers, Amari Cooper, I don't want to start. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I don't want to start. He had 6 catches for 60 yards last week on 11 targets, which is solid. I think maybe he's worth a roster spot, but I don't want to start him yet. For the Jets now, we got Breece Hall, Michael Carter in that backfield. Michael Carter had a really good game in a season, to begin a season that everyone thought Breece Hall would take over. I'm actually okay with starting Michael Carter this week. He had 17 fantasy points, 7 catches for 40 yards.
Yeah, that's the encouraging part.
Yeah, and I'm good with starting Carter. Breece Hall, he had a really good game receiving as well. He had 6 catches, 38 yards on 9 targets, only 6 carries, though. I'm okay starting Carter. I'd probably want to keep Hall on the bench for this week, and all of the passing options – Elijah Moore, Corey Davis. With Joe Flacco, there's just not enough consistency there. I don't want to start those guys.
Yeah, I mean, 36 snaps for Breece Hall, I think you're fine with that, but it's pretty clear that this is a pretty even split between these two, if anything, that Carter's going to be the lead. The Jets were pretty conservative, I thought, throughout this game. They didn't really call it overly aggressive, at least not as much as I probably would have, but you mentioned, like, 10 carries, 60 yards, encouraging, but it's the 7 receptions that are really quite impressive for Carter, and I think that gives him the floor that you can go ahead and start him this week.
Yeah. And I think Carter, everyone kind of expected Breece Hall will take over this backfield soon enough. And I think there's a chance late second half of the season that could happen. But Michael Carter's not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, he averaged 6 yards a carry, had 7 targets, had 100 total yards in 7.
I mean, Carter's not some, like, grizzled veteran.
Exactly. Like, he's a second-year back, yeah. You know. And 17 fantasy points with 60% of the snaps, no touchdown. Right. That's something that you'll take every day of the week.
Right. This isn't like Rex Burkhead trying to you hold off Damian Pierce, and there's a 10-year age gap between them. I mean, there's a 1-year age gap. Obviously, it showed what they thought of Michael Carter to an extent, that they were willing to draft Breece Hall that high in this year's draft. But by that same token, I think that Carter clearly established, at least last week, that they see him for the time being as the top back in the offense.
Next matchup on the slate, Colts at Jaguars. Of course, you're starting Michael Pittman. You're starting Jonathan Taylor. Jaguars. There's a lot here with this backfield. Travis Etienne was my guy coming into this year. I don't think you can start Etienne. James Robinson, on the other hand, he had 2 touchdowns. We talked about this in our previous podcast. He looked really solid in limited work, 49% of the snaps, but 11 carries, 66 yards and a touchdown. He caught end zone target, 3 yards for the touchdown. And Etienne only had 6 touches, so I'm putting Etienne on the bench. If you drafted James Robinson, you probably drafted him pretty late, so it may be tough to get him in your lineup. But, I mean, in this matchup against the Colts, I'd like to have him in.
I think it's kind of hard to kind of think about with all the situation. It's that Doug Peterson came out and said that Travis Etienne was the lead back. And then on the field, it was
coaches say
clearly
things,
clearly the opposite, and that's exactly right. I think Etienne clearly has the talent to be a fantasy relevant running back, but I mean, he's nothing more than a deep flex option to me at this point. If you're in a really deep league, you can't start him right now. Arguably, I don't even know if I'd start Robinson right now in this type of matchup. The Colts, hopefully you would think that they can be motivated coming off last week. The Texans, though, like, they did get some solid run game work against this Colts front last week, so that's what's encouraging. But if you're going to start either of them, it would be Robinson. I just don't think ETN's viable right now with the amount of work he got last week in a Jags offense. You're just praying for a touchdown, and if you're just praying for a touchdown to facilitate someone's fantasy value, you probably shouldn't start them.
Yeah, they split snaps incredibly evenly. 49% Robinson, actually, Etienne edged him out with 51%. I think Robinson's probably going to be up to 60-65% this week. He's coming back from the Achilles.
Yeah,
I think Robinson's going to be more involved in the offense this week. And of course, Christian Kirk in your fantasy lineup, super flex leagues, 2 quarterback. I would start both Matt Ryan and Trevor Lawrence.
Only in that scenario.
Yeah, only in that scenario. You don't want Matt Ryan or Trevor Lawrence to be your starting quarterback in a 1 QB league, but I mean, the Jaguars, they have some fantasy-relevant pieces here. They looked decent down the stretch in the Commanders game. Of course, the Commanders beat them and showed the world that they're the best team of all time. We'll get to them in a second. Next game, yes. Dolphins at Ravens. Now, this is something we should have talked about last episode, but Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, first time together in this offense. Tyreek Hill, you know, had a lot more targets. He had a lot more work in this game. He had 12 targets, caught 8 of them for 94 yards. He did fumble once. He didn't lose it, though. Jaylen Waddle, on the other hand, there's a lot of worry here for me about Jaylen Waddle. Only 5 targets, caught 4 of them, had a touchdown on a 4th-and-7 play, 42-yard touchdown on 4th-and-7. And so finished with 17 fantasy points, 4 catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown. This, although it was a great game for Waddle, there is some worry here with only 5 targets compared to Hill's 12.
I mean, we talked about last season that Jaylen Waddle had an incredible... We talked about before the season that Jaylen Waddle had an unbelievable rookie season, but that his upside was just fundamentally capped by the offense that he was stuck in. I mean, he had 104 receptions as a rookie last year on 140 targets. There's just no conceivable way he's getting to 140 targets again this season with Tyreek Hill. You mentioned Hill, 12 targets in this game. That's about right. That's what he should be getting week. Tyreek, if you drafted him, you took the leap of faith that it was going to carry over this year when he moved teams. You're feeling good about that right now, because it was pretty clear that he's going to be the focal point of the offense, and Waddle's sort of going to sit behind. It's not like the talent's diminished for Waddle, but right now I see him more as a wide receiver two type of play at best right now. You're definitely starting him, but the expectations should not be that this is going to be a top 10 receiver. There's just not enough targets in this offense from Tua.
Yeah, now that we've seen the way this offense has shaken out, obviously you're starting both these players, like you said, and I think Tua, he obviously can sustain these two players. I mean, Jalen Waddle obviously broke that big play, but Tua targeted him on 4th and 7, right? There's and also 4th and 7 going for it from 42 yards out. Mike McDaniel, what a way to win over a locker room. Like, that's incredible. Nathaniel Hackett could never.
Or lose over the entire fan base if it did not go right.
But it did. You know, hindsight is 20/20. And, you know, Dolphins actually, the offense didn't have to do much because the defense was really shutting down Mac Jones and the Patriots. But this game, you know, there's a lot of injury here. And looking at the backfield, Chase Edmonds, he disappointed in week 1, but I'm starting him with confidence again this week. No questions asked for me. Edmonds was on the field 63% of the snaps, only had 10.5 fantasy points, but used very, very well in the passing game, had 4 catches for 40 yards.
Yeah, Edmonds, you're 100% starting him this week.
And going into the Ravens, of course, Lamar Jackson should be in all fantasy lineups he is rostered in. J.K. Dobbins is on his way back from his injury, which is very interesting to me. Practiced in full yesterday, which was Wednesday, taking a big step forward in his recovery from that knee injury or the torn ACL from the start of last season. No guarantees for Dobbins, and if he doesn't play, I don't want any part of Mike Davis or Kenyon Drake. But if he does play, I don't know if I want to start him in this matchup if he's going to be limited.
I mean, I think even if he's here, what are we going for? Best case scenario, he'd be 50% of the snaps.
And especially considering there's no passing game usage here. Lamar Jackson doesn't throw to running backs anyway. I feel like, you know, worst case scenario, he could be on the field, like you said, 20-25% of the snaps and get like 6 carries. Like, I feel like you want to wait to see how he looks first before starting him. And I mean, you obviously made do last week without starting him. So I think you can make do this week as well.
Is Rashad Bateman startable this week? Because, you know, Bateman,
this is your boy. I love Bateman.
He salvaged his week last night with one huge reception, obviously. He got that huge touchdown reception, and that really saved the day for him. But ultimately, I mean, 2 receptions, 5 targets. That's kind of what we were expecting. Maybe you want a little bit more out of him on a week-to-week basis, but he was the number one receiver in this offense. The question is whether this offense, you even care who is the number one receiver. Unlike most offenses, there's just not that many other people. I mean, Devin Duvernay, like, he had 4 receptions for 54 yards, but that was just on 4 targets. He got 2 touchdowns.
2 touchdowns,
so,
yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, he got 2 touchdowns. Great. But, like, Devin Duvernay is not getting 2 touchdowns a week. I don't think we need to be raising alarm bells about that. So I'm still starting Bateman this week. I think that you got to ride it out for at least a couple more weeks. Yeah, this is not going to be a high-octane passing offense. We already knew that fact coming into the season, so that wasn't surprising to me. You got to hold tight. If you were a Bateman believer before the season, I don't think I saw anything that really turned me away from that. There's other passing matchups, unlike the one that they encountered last week. Like, I think ultimately against the Jets, that are going to be more favorable for them to want to be passing the ball a little bit more. Maybe games that they don't control quite as much. So I'm sticking with Bateman, and I don't think Duvernay or anyone else can really be startable or even borderline rosterable.
Yeah, Duvernay, I mean, third year wide receiver, only 4 targets, like you said. The end zone receptions were very good catches.
They were.
Lamar,
yeah,
Jackson was putting balls in very tight pockets, which.
he's good.
Which I thought was he looked really good. Rashad Bateman, 5 targets, like you said. I'm starting Bateman this week against Miami. I think the skill set's obviously there. Of course, Mark Andrews is in your fantasy lineups as a tight end one. Now, next matchup here, Buccaneers at Saints. I'm starting Jameis Winston with confidence. That's my boy. Alvin Kamara, after a disappointing week, starting with confidence. Now, Jarvis Landry here, first game with the new team, showed off some impressive chemistry with Jameis Winston. 9 targets, 7 catches, 114 yards, leading the Saints in receptions. If he's not rostered in your league after waivers have ran, I really would like to have him rostered. I think he's going to be really good for this Saints team. Of course, Michael Thomas, 2 touchdowns in the second half. He was really, really solid as well. I'm starting both those guys this week.
Yeah, they were both really good. I mean, like, I like Olave, too. He's one of my guys. He had 3 receptions in this game for 41 yards. He didn't get quite as many targets. But I think he showed that he has some talent, too. I'm not saying you're starting him because, obviously, you just mentioned the 2 guys you just mentioned are ahead of him. But Thomas and Landry, I mean, they're both viable starters. I mean, Jameis Winston, for some of the mistakes he makes in real life, he's always been a really, really valuable quarterback to have your receivers be playing with in fantasy. And that was borne out again. Michael Thomas is really the story of the night to me because he kind of looked back. Like, he looked healthy for the first time in a couple years. He made a couple really difficult catches.
Against,
like,
A.J. Terrell,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, fantastic cornerback. One of the best corners in the league. Like, I think we came into the season thinking that Michael Thomas is a guy who's, like, a low-end wide receiver 2 flex type option. And, like,
I think a lot of that, sorry to interrupt, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that we just haven't seen him on the field for so long. Like,
yeah,
but
there's no
he's, of course, a incredibly talented wide receiver. And now that we've seen that again this year after all the injuries, after all the trauma, I think Michael Thomas is going to return borderline wide receiver 1-2 status.
Yeah, I mean, there's... If he keeps up this type of production, obviously 8 targets, like, he's not going to get that every week. But the target share, and, like, not just the share, but, like, how he looked on the field is why it's so encouraging that you say, well, if he's back to at least some level of it, obviously it's not Drew Brees and not Sean Payton anymore, but there's some level of it that's encouraging. And Jarvis Landry, I mean, this has been his MO for years. We sort of know what he is. Obviously, he's older at this point, and you're not necessarily expecting... I'm not saying he's going to hit triple digits every week.
I'm not expecting 16-plus yards per catch.
Is this a flex option this week? I think you start him.
I think you start him as a flex option. I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers that disappointed just off the top of my head. Robert Woods, I'd start him over. Adam Thielen, I'd start him over this week. So I think, I mean, this profiles as a shootout-type game against the Buccaneers. Obviously, Buccaneers have had some trouble with the Saints in the past. Tom Brady has at least. Looking at the Buccaneers, of course, Chris Godwin not in your fantasy lineups. Julio Jones did not practice Wednesday. He apparently has a knee injury. Maybe it's a rest day for a veteran wide receiver. That's something that we need to keep our eyes on.
Are you starting Julio though?
You know, with Chris Godwin out, I mean, I could see perhaps putting him in your lineup. He had 5 targets, had 11.6 fantasy points, had a couple of rushing attempts too, which I thought was very interesting. For the Bucs, dialing up rushing plays for the wily veteran that Julio Jones is now. Of course, Mike Evans in your lineup, playoff Lenny, Leonard Fournette in your lineup, Tom Brady in your lineup. Not a lot of fringe starters here on this Buccaneers offense. You know who you're starting with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty tried and true with the Bucs.
And going forward, I think the marquee matchup of the week, we got Washington Commanders against Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions.
Buckle up
here because we got the Hard Knocks Lions and, of course, the best team in the league, the Commanders. And now this brings us into one of our fan questions I asked around. We do have some fan questions for this week.
Oh, let's go. We're back.
We're back here
Season 2 of fan questions.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, Maddie, I'm gonna throw this one over to you because you are not biased like myself. Jahan Dotson or Curtis Samuel this week?
Am I allowed to say neither?
I mean, if it were me, I would say both, but...
I mean, I think if I have to choose one of them this week, I'll take Jahan Dotson.
Interesting.
I mean, 3 receptions for 40 yards was fine, but, like, Dotson should be one of the top roster pickups this week across fantasy football, just because we know how good he was in college. He was a really, really talented player at Penn State. Obviously, Washington took a lot of draft capital to take him, and the 3 receptions on 5 targets, obviously 2 touchdowns again. Like, people be talking about, they get 2 touchdowns, that's not just going to be like a weekly thing, whatever. I'm not always expecting that, but he has another favorable matchup against the Lions this week. I'm not saying, like, if you have great receivers, I'd start him over him, but if you're in need of someone at a flex position, Dotson's a guy, like, I think that you can feel confident starting and that he's going to get somewhere in the 4-7 target range, and you hope that he can put up 10 to 15 fantasy points.
Yeah, first things first about this question, I appreciate whoever asked it because this question means that they have rostered 2 Commanders wide receivers. And for me, that just makes me very happy. But I'm going to have to disagree with you, Maddie. I think Curtis Samuel is going to finish with a better fantasy day. Had 11 targets, 8 catches, 55 yards on touchdown last week. We talked about they used him in a more gadget role. He had a few carries in there. Against Detroit, I think...
I don't buy the volume continuing.
I buy the volume
I just
here.
Don't.
I don't think... He's not going to get 11 targets a week. But I think Dotson's probably going to be around, 3 to 6 targets, like you were saying. I think Samuel's going to be around 8 to 10 targets a week.
I don't see that on a weekly basis.
All right, we're going to see. We'll be back next week to talk about it. And elsewhere on the Commanders' offense, of course, Carson Wentz set the world on fire. Don't want to start him in a one-quarterback league, two-quarterback league. I would love to have him in. Terry McLaurin, of course, in your lineup. Antonio Gibson in your lineup. J.D. McKissick, I don't even think I want to roster him. He was on the field for the majority of third downs, didn't get a lot of work in the passing game. Got out-targeted, out-receiving yarded by Antonio Gibson. For the Lions, however, DeAndre Swift here did not practice on Wednesday, so there could be an issue with Swift. He said he's not worried about his injury. He rolled his ankle in the second quarter of week one. Of course, he went on
Jamal Williams.
But after he rolled his ankle in the second quarter, he went on to rush for a touchdown, have a break off a couple of big runs. I don't see this one as an issue, but of course, Jamal Williams would have a huge uptick in fantasy value if Swift were to miss time.
Swift, PFF's the number one grade for rushing this week.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift, just if he can stay healthy, he's going to finish in the top three at the position.
And Williams sniped an early touchdown from him on the goal line.
Two early touchdowns.
One at the beginning. Yeah, he got two touchdowns. I mean, Williams himself is not a fantasy-relevant person. But if you have Swift on your roster, you should also probably have Williams at least do your best to try to get him. Because
It's just tough. Sorry to keep interrupting. It's just tough because Williams was actually drafted decently high up because of Swift's injury history.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fair.
Yeah, exactly. The potential of the DeAndre Swift owner also having Jamal Williams is lower just because Williams was a drafted player as opposed to some other handcuffs in the league.
I mean, is that the one hesitation we have with Swift in general, that this Williams thing on the goal line where, Williams legitimately is a good goal line back could snipe away some of Swift's value?
Yeah, the thing is, I would be worried about that if I haven't seen DeAndre Swift run. He is just so talented. I mean, 15 carries, 144 yards on its own is incredible, but you watch the guy play. He is faster than everyone else on the field at any given moment. He broke off that touchdown run from far away. He also had 3 catches for 31 yards. There is so much upside here with Swift. It's insane. I think he was a guy I really, really wanted to target in the late first round of drafts, and as time went on in draft season, he started to go earlier and earlier and earlier, going into the 5th-6th range in the first round. But of course, Swift is in your lineup. Wide receiver position, we talked about DJ Chark. I don't necessarily want to start him this week. I think maybe boom-bust TD option, boom-bust flex option if you are desperate. But of course, the sun god Amon-Ra St. Brown is in your lineup.
The sun god. St. Brown is amazing. I mean, 12 targets for him, that's just, it's huge. And he was just as good to get it. I mean, at some point, we just had to recognize that this is a legitimate talent. He got in the end zone, which is good. Again, 20 points. I mean, you're thrilled with that if you're him. I think good performance. He and Swift, the Lions do have two, and maybe Hockenson too. You throw him in there too.
Yeah.
I mean, those are three legit guys. Hockenson was targeted 7 times, and you're happy with that. Anytime he didn't get a lot of points, he only had 7.8 fantasy points. But
I mean, at the tight end position, that's not horrible.
You're getting 7 targets at the tight end position. That's a weekly starter.
Yeah, and looking at the tight end for the Commanders, Logan Thomas is someone I do want to keep my eye on.
Oh.
Not necessarily want to start, obviously. 3 catches, 45 yards, used down the field, had an end zone target as well from Carson Wentz. I'll keep my eye on Logan Thomas this week to see if he can get some fantasy value. And next game, we're getting into the 4 p.m. slate, but there's a fan question I want to get to before Seahawks 49ers, and that is about DK Metcalf. Metcalf targeted 7 times, 7 receptions, 36 yards. Is he a buy low option? I got this question from a fan, on the street, all these things. Do we want to buy low on DK Metcalf?
Buy low on DK Metcalf right now. Is this a buy low? I know he only had 8 fantasy points, but this is not a buy low, given that, he was targeted 7 times. He reeled in all 7. I think the most important thing, we saw how the Seahawks wanted to use him in this game. They were targeting him a lot. Short area plays, making Geno's life easier by giving him some short intermediate throws. That's obviously how you end up with 7 receptions for 36 yards and a 5.1 yards per reception average, because he was getting a lot of short throws. But if you're in a PPR league, like, I think this week was actually really encouraging for what you wanted to see out of DK. Obviously, the big play threat, the touchdown bombs, you know, yeah, that's stuff that you're not going to get in this offense. But absolutely, I was encouraged by what I saw from DK. If someone saw the performance and wants to sell him, then, like, fine, please take him. But I don't know if you have DK, why you'd want to do that, because I was encouraged by the fact that, yes, maybe some of DK's best skills were not highlighted in a Geno Smith-led Pete Carroll offense in 2022, but there are other skills that DK can also provide that are going to be highlighted in a PPR league that gives him a high floor, and he still has the ceiling to probably a few times this season make those big-time plays that will give you huge fantasy weeks.
Yeah, I think the buy-low question just comes in because of the low fantasy output. Like, 8.6 fantasy points isn't great.
No, it is low.
It is low, and especially because of that lost fumble, that lowers it down a little bit. And I think if someone is actively shopping DK Metcalf, I would like him. And another thing to note here, Patrick Surtain was shadowing DK Metcalf the entire game. And Metcalf catching all 7 of his targets is impressive in and of itself. Also had a fantastic 15-yard grab right before his fumble on the next catch that was in double coverage. Surtain was draped all over him and he made the catch. Obviously, the talent's not in question for Metcalf. Looking at the rest of the Seahawks, you're starting Rashad Penny with confidence, or at least I am. He looked really good, 5 yards a carry, had a few catches in there. Geno Smith, I don't know if I want to start him in a two-quarterback league.
Even in a two-quarterback league, like, I mean, no.
Yeah, like, he looked like a game manager. I feel like
he is a game manager.
And with running back like Penny, you can probably pull that off. Tyler Lockett is a bit iffy. He looked okay in this game, but he just didn't get the targets. Only 3 catches for 28 yards on 4 targets. I mean, you're not dropping him. Maybe try and bench him in a 2 wide receiver league this week.
Yep, I agree.
And next, other team in this matchup, of course, San Francisco 49ers. My boy Trey Lance disappointed.
Did you start him?
In week 1. Yes, I'm starting him in week 2 with confidence.
I think
Trey Lance he's going to put up 20-plus fantasy points this week. The rushing attempts were there. Rushing numbers were there. He just didn't get in the end zone because I attribute a lot of that to the conditions at this game against the Bears. Of course, Deebo Samuel in your fantasy lineups. Now, Jeff Wilson Jr. here. Of course, Elijah Mitchell out for 6 to 8 weeks. I think you can put Jeff Wilson Jr. in your fantasy lineups this week.
Yeah, we talked about this on last week's episode. But the main threat to Jeff Wilson Jr.'s carries comes from Deebo Samuel, which is a kind of odd arrangement. But you expect Deebo to get somewhere from 5 to 10 carries a game now that there's no Elijah Mitchell. Jeff Wilson Jr. should be able to rack up most of the rest of those. But overall, I think, yeah, he's probably a flex-type option, but he's not going to get a ton of receiver work out of the backfield,
right?
He's not that type of back end in this offense. That's just not going to be where he gets. So, yeah, he'll be the early down running back, but I think you could start him as a flex maybe, but don't get your hopes up that now the backfield is wide open for Jeff Wilson Jr. to take over the world.
Yeah, when Elijah Mitchell was on the field, he was clearly the number one back because of the talent. But Jeff Wilson Jr. is not Elijah Mitchell. I think Deebo's probably going to mix in, like you said, 6 to 8 carries. And Trey Lance is going to mix in with 10 to 15 carries.
Yeah, that's an important
right?
part, yeah.
So Jeff Wilson probably, the scraps of that is probably, what, 12 carries? And at the running back position, you could probably do better than that. But, of course, he was one of the top waiver wire options. The rookies on this team, we don't even know if Tyrion Davis-Price and Jordan Mason are going to dress. I imagine one of them will. 49ers, you're starting Deebo, I'm starting Lance, and Jeff Wilson is a flex. I think that's basically the fantasy relevant options. And of course, if George Kittle is back, he's plugged in as well.
Ayuk, I mean, people drafted Ayuk thinking this was going to be a season, but he ran 22 routes. That's just not feasible.
And that was without George Kittle on the field.
That's a good point.
The conditions obviously weren't there. Like I'm going to keep mentioning that because I feel like it needs to be mentioned for the wide receiver options. But Ayuk, 2 catches, 40 yards, played basically all of the snaps. So I think you can probably – I would wait out this week with Ayuk. I think you can find a better option. Like I said, Jarvis Landry on the waiver wire, someone like that, I think may be a better option. And going into the next matchup, we only have a few more left on the slate. Falcons at Rams. We did talk about this a little bit last week, but another fan question I got from our very own Peyton Doyle from WRBB Sports is, what do I do with Cam Akers? I don't think you start him this week, but the question was, do I cut him?
No. That would be completely ridiculous to cut Cam Akers.
Yeah, after Peyton, 1 week. Dumb question, but I appreciate the interest.
No. The question makes sense. I think the better question is, will he at some point become a starting viable player with an injury to Daryl Henderson? Which is only an ironic point because literally as of a week ago, we talked about that in the reverse, whether Daryl Henderson would become a starting viable player in the absence of Cam Akers. In this scenario, no, I don't think Akers is someone that is a viable starter this week, but I think you got to ride him a little bit more. I just don't think that split of touches where he literally gets, you know, three carries, it's just not feasible that that's going to continue to happen. I mean, who knows whether he's in the doghouse, whether he's coming back from a soft tissue injury. There's a lot of factors that could be in play, but I would pump the brakes a little bit. I know, like, everyone's obviously panicking about Akers. I have Akers on my team, one of my teams. Obviously, it's not a performance that you want. Henderson, on the other hand, though, is he startable this week? Because I just feel like the carry dispute between Akers and Henderson was almost so absurd that it's hard to even, like, think about how to contextualize that. Not only was it 13-3 in carries, five receptions.
The five receptions here is what I'm keying in on as a start. I think Henderson is a clear flex on the verge between
RB2. Yeah, it could be RB2. Yeah.
I like him in this matchup. Atlanta they just played against Saints. They stuffed Alvin Kamara pretty well, but of course Taysom Hill broke off a few big runs. But those are weird packages from the Saints. But I think Henderson, with that receiving work, gives him probably a 6 to 6 or 7 point floor.
Yeah, the floor
that,
is big.
That you don't get from other running backs that you drafted outside the 10th round. So I think Henderson, it's a great waiver wire pickup. If he was on the waiver wires, was Daryl Henderson. And looking at the Falcons now, Cordarrelle Patterson, we talked about. I think he's a start. Kyle Pitts is a start. Marcus Mariota. Superflex leagues, he's a start. One quarterback league, I don't know if I want to start Mariota.
No, I don't.
He shouldn't even be rostered in one quarterback leagues, to be honest.
No, he should not be rostered. He's in the bottom 10 of quarterbacks. I'm interested. I mean, listen, he got 20 points, but the 12 carries, by the way, for 72 yards. That's the only reason why. I mean, he got a rushing touchdown, too. But 12 carries for Mariota, that's the only thing that kind of raised your eyebrows. I mean, he's been solidly mobilized, put him above league average, but I mean, rushing success is pretty much all you need. I mean, that's the name of the game for fantasy quarterbacks that are lower. I mean, he still fumbled in this game, but the truth is, like, if you get 12 carries a game, we see this with Jalen Hurts, it doesn't matter if you're 20 for 33 and he got 200 yards, no touchdowns, he's still in a viable fantasy because rushing work can be that productive for quarterbacks.
And the next one in this offense is Drake London. 5 catches, 74 yards. We talked about this in our last episode. I think you can plug in London in your flex this week against the Rams. I think Kyle Pitts obviously isn't going to put up 19 yards again. I mean, I hope not. I think Pitts is going to bounce back in this matchup. So London's probably going to get around 5 targets, and I think he can put together a double digit fantasy point showing again. I'd be okay with having him in my flex spot, but I think you can temper your expectations a little bit because Kyle Pitts, 2 catches, 19 yards, isn't going to happen every week.
Yeah, I mean, amongst the receiving core, Drake London got the same amount of targets as the rest of the wide receiving core combined in this game between Brian Edwards, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Kadarrelle Hodge. Those are the only other receivers that were even targeted in this game for the Falcons. And Drake London has as many targets with 7 as the rest of them combined. You mentioned the 5 receptions. I do think that he's a flex playing deeper leagues right now. I think given he's a rookie and he's just starting out and he's going to get that. I mean, Kyle Pitts really is getting all the attention in this offense, which is giving way for someone like Drake London to get those targets. So I think in a deeper league, he's a flex option. But given he's a rookie, he literally just played his first game, I think he's someone you really want to have on your team. But maybe wait a week or two, see if we get a little bit more consistency before I feel confident starting him.
Right. And I think, like I said, Cordarrelle Patterson in your fantasy lineups this week, if you haven't sold them high already, which I think you should have done. But of course, as Maddie said last time, I'm just a hater.
Every week that we've ever done this podcast, you should sell high in Cordarrelle Patterson, according to you.
Yeah, that's just me, I guess. Next matchup here, Seahawks at 49ers. We already talked about that, so that's not the next matchup. Cardinals at Raiders is the next matchup. And this one, I think, is going to be a shootout. I have high expectations for this game. The Cardinals, after getting absolutely shellacked by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, an incredible week 1 quarterback, as we know. Now, I think you're starting James Conner, Kyler Murray, Marquise Brown, Zach Ertz. I don't think you're starting Greg Dortch. I don't think he's in your fantasy lineup. But
I know you're a big Greg Dortch guy.
You know, he really burst on the scene for me. But
7 receptions.
Yeah, that was very impressive for Greg Dortch, one of the household names of the NFL now.
Truly.
But all the staples in this Cardinals offense you're starting. For the Raiders, I think it's the same deal. Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, I think you're starting. Garrett Carr, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow. Did not have a great game for the Raiders. I think you can probably put him back in your line.
Yeah, and Davante Adams, I mean, he doubled the receiving work, the target share, and receiving work of the rest of the wide receiver group. And that's why Hunter Renfrow, you mentioned it, like, it is a little concerning. It's kind of a similar situation to what we talked about earlier with Jaden Waddle, but I think actually more exacerbated because Waddle still has a big play threat. Hunter Renfrow's value completely predicated on his target share. I mean, yeah, he's still going to be the primary slot option for Derek Carr, but I think you start Hunter Renfrow, but if this week he's still at targets, if still at 6 targets or something around that wheelhouse again this week, that's when I start to get a little bit concerned because 17 targets for Davante Adams, 10 receptions, it's a completely absurd number. It's something, obviously, if you're an Adams manager, you're thrilled about that work. But, yeah, Renfrow, that's the concerning thing. But I don't think you should have drafted Renfrow that high to begin with because this was the concern. They aggressively fed Davante Adams. Davante Adams had 17 and the Raiders 35 targets in this game. That's completely absurd. So I don't think that if Renfrow does not get a high target volume, there's just not that much upside. I think, you know, like, you can start Red Flex this week, maybe a lower-end option, and then if he gets more targets, that's when he starts to get his value again.
Yeah, Davante Adams is not going to get 17 targets a game.
There's no way.
He's a talented enough wide receiver to get those targets and obviously excel with them, but I think Derek Carr is going to spread the ball around a little bit more. It's funny, I mentioned this a while ago. I said Davante Adams is probably going to be targeted like 20 times because of the whole Antonio Brown saga and the Raiders trying to, you know, prove that they can actually sustain a high-tier wide receiver. Anyway, we're going to speed run through these last 5 matchups. Texans at Broncos. Big name here, of course, is Dameon Pierce. I think you're benching Dameon Pierce until further notice.
Is it a big name? I mean, it felt like it was a big name.
It's
crazy how fast the fantasy shine just went right off of him.
Yeah, Dameon Pierce, I want him on my roster still, benching him until further notice. Broncos, Russell Wilson, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, all in your lineups. Tight end-wise on the Broncos, there isn't really much. Albert O, I can't pronounce his last name, I'm sorry. Albert O had a few catches, didn't look great. I don't think you're starting him. For the Texans, of course, Brandon Cooks is in your lineup.
I mean, Albert O kind of was getting some early work, getting targeted a bunch early on in the game. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're not starting him, but I could see him if you're tight end needy. He's basically got no rosters, so pick him up because there's some value in that Broncos offense if they're going to target him like they just did this week.
Next matchup here, Sunday 4:25 game, Bengals against the Cowboys. Of course, we talked about the Cowboys last episode. Cooper Rush will be the starting quarterback. I'd like to stay away from everyone not named Dalton Schultz if possible, but Ezekiel Elliott is probably going to be in a lot of lineups. CeeDee Lamb probably going to be in a lot of lineups.
I think Zeke should be, by the way.
Zeke, you know, probably, I think the upside is capped here for Elliott just because of the quarterback. But, you know, I don't hate starting him. He's probably going to be started everywhere he was drafted. CeeDee Lamb in a 2 wide receiver league, I think maybe try and find another option. 3 wide receiver league, you probably can't. For the Bengals, you know, you're starting all the big names, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, even after their Joe Burrow's very not great game. He had a solid fantasy day out of it. But T. Higgins here is the big name for me that it could be an issue. Concussion protocol, it says he's been making good progress, but he hasn't yet been cleared from the protocol. We got to keep an eye on this. If T. Higgins is out, I think Tyler Boyd is a startable name in this game.
Without Higgins. Yeah. With Higgins, there's just not. We've done this show now for 2 years. There's not enough for Tyler Boyd to get, really, without Higgins there. But he was really effective once Higgins left the game. So, yeah, without Higgins in the lineup, Boyd is definitely startable. Someone that people should be picking up if he's available in your league. Because whether it's Chase or Higgins, if either of them go out at some point this season, Boyd, like, he's been a consistent option for years. We know what he is. He can be a value to a fantasy team.
Yeah, also without Higgins, I think Joe Mixon rises up to maybe top seven at the position. Higgins was out after two catches, and Mixon,
if he isn't anyways, he got 27 carries.
This is true, right? The carries is great, and then also seven catches on top of that to get 63 yards. And I think a lot of that had to do with Higgins not being in the game. But
9 receiving targets and 27 rushes. I mean, that's
incredible.
21. You're happy if you drafted him and you got the 21 points, but you're even happier knowing that this is not a split backfield and this is as dramatic of a non-split as we have in the league right now.
Right. I mean, well, Saquon, I would say.
Yeah, maybe Saquon and, you know, Najee Harris, someone we talked about earlier, too.
I mean, we would say Jonathan Taylor, but Nyheim Hines took 6 catches away.
Yeah, but there's other options there. I mean, this is Joe Mixon.
Right. And I think Joe Mixon, even with T. Higgins, like you said, is a top 10 running back. Next matchup here, Bears-Packers. You're benching Justin Fields. David Montgomery, I don't know if I want to start him this week. He did not perform as well as we would hope.
No, you got to ride with him. But we talked about the weather conditions there. Right, right. So many outside factors. I mean, I don't know. I think you still got 17 carries out of him. Obviously, it was an absolute.
That was a wash.
Abhorrent efficiency, 1.5 yards per carries. But goal line work was mostly taken by Khalil Herbert in this game.
And Herbert was looked very explosive. So I would like to have Herbert on my roster. We talked about that in waiver wire episode last time, but you're benching Herbert. Maddie, you want to start David Montgomery? I would prefer to stay away this week. I think the Packers are going to absolutely demolish the Bears this week.
Really?
The Packers had a bad week one last year, and Aaron Rodgers ended up winning the MVP. I think Rodgers is on a revenge tour. He owns the Bears, blah, 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 all these things. All the Packers I'm starting that aren't wide receivers or pass catchers, Robert Tonyan, I don't think is worth a start. AJ Dillon, Aaron Jones,
I think they're both startable. Yeah,
AJ Dillon, honestly, we talked about this. I think we both said AJ Dillon we preferred at their draft position, and he looked good.
We've been Dillon people for a while here.
Yeah, so I would start Dillon. I don't think you have to be worried about Aaron Jones though. I think he's going to get more carries and get more involved in the offense.
Dillon kind of looked better though.
Dillon, he's the kind of guy that just, he's like Derrick Henry in this way, that he just takes over an entire drive and defenses just can't stop him. You know what I mean? Derrick Henry has done this time and time again in his career, and AJ Dillon profiles very similarly to Derrick Henry. Two Monday night games on the slate, those would be the last two we talk about. Titans at Bills should be a good matchup. Of course, top Bills you're starting, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen. Dawson Knox, I don't love at the tight end position, but if you drafted him, you're probably going to have to ride with him just because he's a tight end. Running back wise, Devin Singletary, he was being utilized very well early in the game, and then that kind of tapered off. But James Cook lost that fumble. I think James Cook's going to get another chance in this offense. I'd like to stay away from the Bills backs this week.
Yeah, we talked about Singletary at the end of last season, and that by the last month of the season and then carried into the playoffs, Singletary took over as like the guy, Zach Moss. I mean, people were stunned when Zach Moss made the team, and then he went out and he got 6 carries and 6 receptions.
And the catches, yeah.
In this game. So Zach Moss all of a sudden just like emerging out of the depths of nowhere to be good, and just like that was some of Singletary's work, and you were banking on Singletary getting a lot of targets, and he just didn't in this game because Zach Moss got the running back target. So
all three of these guys just lower the value of each other in fantasy. Obviously, it worked well for the Bills in week one against the Rams, but in fantasy, I don't want any part of this backfield besides, of course, Josh Allen. And for the Titans, of course, Derrick Henry is in. Pass-catching options, I don't want Robert Woods in my lineup. I don't really want Ryan Tannehill in my lineup either. I think it's just Derrick Henry for the Titans.
Yeah, there's pretty much no one else. The wide receiver core, Robert Woods gave you nothing. I don't think you can start him.
And Treylon Burks, I think I can stomach rostering Burks because of the upside, but I don't think I want to start him this week.
Honestly, I don't even think, like, 13 routes run.
Yeah.
I don't think he's really even viable. This Tennessee offense just showed us nothing.
Right. They lost to the Giants of all teams, right? Maddie is not a Giants fan, which surprised me when I learned about it.
You acted for, like, 8 weeks like I was a Giants
fan. I thought
fan.
You were a Giants fan for the first, like, whatever. That's neither here nor there. Last matchup of the slate, Monday at 8:30 p.m., Vikings at Eagles, which should be a very good game. Eagles just hunk 38 on the Lions. Vikings just beat the Packers. For the Vikings, I'm starting Kirk Cousins in one quarterback leagues. If I have him as my sole quarterback, I'm starting him. Justin Jefferson, of course, you're starting. Dalvin Cook, of course, you're starting.
Thielen,
you know, I don't think the Eagles are going to cover Justin Jefferson like the Packers did, because the Packers just didn't cover Justin Jefferson. So I think Thielen has some value here. I think what do you have, 3 catches, 30 yards last week. I think he'll probably get up to 7-8 targets, maybe catch 5 or 6 balls in this one.
I mean, like, Thielen's a guy who, to me, I think you just got to roll with him. I think you're banking on touchdowns. He's had double-digit touchdowns each of the last 2 seasons, and that's really what you need to bank on again from him, is that he has really good red zone rapport with Kirk Cousins. But Justin Jefferson is going to take a lot of that away, and that's my concern with Thielen. It's kind of...
There was just no reason to not throw to Jefferson.
There's no reason.
Because he was wide open the entire game.
He was wide open the entire game. And like, I mean, listen, if someone can do a better job, maybe this, you know, like if this week Philadelphia can do a better job containing Jefferson, then maybe you're making a good case to have Thielen play. But kind of like we just talked about with Hunter Renfrow, but I think to a higher extent, if you're a volume predicated guy and a red zone predicated guy, and then you have a number one receiver, right, why would you not throw
a true alpha wide receiver,
A1 receiver, and it's like, why would you not throw the ball to this guy? Suddenly that value tanks a bit.
Right. I think you can roll with Adam Thielen in this one. I think, like I said, he can probably get double digit fantasy points. This is projected to be a solid matchup. For the Eagles, not much intrigue in this offense. You're starting Jalen Hurts, you're starting Miles Sanders, you're starting A.J. Brown, and you're starting Dallas Goedert. We talked about Devonta Smith last episode. Do you think you can stomach putting him in your fantasy lineup this week after a 0-point goose egg of a performance?
I know that 0-point performance is obviously not the most encouraging thing, but I start him. I like him.
All right.
I just think, like, he has a track record from last season. I know the 0 is really hard to kind of compartmentalize, but he's just too talented of a player. I think that hurts. Obviously, you know, you're hurt a lot by the fact that he's...
Hurts a lot.
very funny. That's the thing. We've definitely reached the hour mark of the podcast now.
If you're still listening, you would have heard that hilarious pun. So.
Yes. But I do think that, you know, obviously with A.J. Brown there, the role is different for Devonta Smith. 13 targets for Brown compared to just 4 for Smith. I see that changing. I just don't think that's going to be sustainable. I think Philly, yes, they're going to want to target A.J. Brown, but he's not necessarily a guy that's going to get that many targets every week. So I think Smith, bounce back week, I'm starting him. Just roll with him. I know the 0, probably a lot of people started him last week, and, you know, that's tough. But I don't know. From my perspective, he's someone I'm still playing.
And that's going to do it for our week 2 predictions. Of course, I think the best matchup of this week is actually tonight, Chargers at Chiefs.
It's a great matchup.
That's going to be great. Hopefully, Mike Williams can get back with Keenan Allen injured. I think DeAndre Carter might have a flex-worthy performance, you know, an unheralded type option. But last thing to mention here, Maddie and I, we disagreed on Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson. We'll be back next week to see who did better. I say Samuel.
Oh, I'm going
to
be
Maddie
rooting
says
for Dotson.
Dotson.
Yeah.
We're all rooting for the Commanders. I think we all love the Commanders because they are the best team in the league. But our next episode will be recapping Week 2's action and doing waiver wires, all these things, on next Tuesday. But for Matty Wasserman, I've been Colin Kapoor for the Fantasy Connectors podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. Ka-chow. All right, that was good. It was okay. Wasn't the best.
I was not my best. You should interrupt me more, I feel like.
Did I not interrupt you enough?
No, like, I feel